The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that would never charge you money and also make you listen to ads even though we're in a prime position to do so, it's Sif Pop. Get it? Prime position. Welcome to Sif Pop Weekly, gosh. Streaming live. Most Fridays are available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks,
including no ads. I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's anticipating a year where movies don't get forced to move again. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, hey. 3 years in a row? Question mark.
Each week we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. And please welcome our guest this week. He's anticipating the second half of the Spider-Verse movie sometime before the second half of the 21st century. It's John Paula, ladies and gentlemen.
We can only hope. So many of my most anticipated got delayed into 2025.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real bummer. I think, yeah, what do we have? Mission Impossible 8, Avatar 3, and Spider-Verse 3 all got pushed back from their original 2024s to 2025.
Yeah.
So, movies we won't be talking about today.
Yes. And at least we know now. At least we know now.
Yes.
that is happening. Well, fellas,
save yourself the disappointment.
This is one of my favorite episodes of the year. I love looking ahead for a couple of reasons. Number one, I always feel so dumb during this episode because I don't watch trailers.
Right.
I don't know anything about these movies. So I will go look these movies up and I'll go, oh, this director I love, these actors I love, and, you know, that's all I know. So I always come out, you know, just being like, oh, excited about movies I knew nothing about.
It's one of the most fun episodes to record, and I think this is the second or third year this trio of guys have done this episode. And first of all, thanks for having me back on. And I love it because there's not a lot of homework required. It's not go watch six terrible movies and let's talk about them at the end of the week. It's we just need you for 90 minutes to spew out endless, baseless speculation without really a ton of research. Some of these, like especially in the last half of the year, we're just going off a title and a director. Like there's not a lot known about some of these projects.
Otherwise known as Aaron Dicering it. That is what yes. I always do.
Which is fun because some of the endless speculation is enjoyable. I mean, that's 23 hours a day of SportsCenter. It's just, let's just speculate endlessly about stuff we're only sort of half informed on. And sometimes I think we kind of can get each other psyched up for projects. I know, Andrew, you're probably going to mention a couple movies that I haven't heard of or maybe haven't been on my radar and vice versa. So definitely looking forward to the conversation.
I don't think that I'm going to surprise you. I think that my list is pretty basic. By the way, didn't we just do this podcast like 3 weeks ago, it feels like?
Welcome to aging.
There's a great joke on The Simpsons where Homer remembers his taxes are due, and he's like, taxes? Didn't I do those a year ago? It's just this perfect encapsulation of what it feels like to get old. Just time is a meaningless, yeah.
Well, since it feels like yesterday, do either of you remember what our official most anticipated movie of 2023 was?
I believe it was Dead Reckoning 1, right?
Yes, it was Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
I thought it was Dune 2.
No, it wasn't. I had Dune 2 as my second most anticipated of the year. I actually have our top threes. Do you want me to go through them?
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So, John, you had Dead Reckoning at number one. That was your most anticipated. How'd that turn out for you?
It turned out pretty good. Pretty good. Definitely not my favorite of the year, but really solid.
Your number two was Dial of Destiny. New Indiana Jones movie was your number two anticipated. How about that?
It was not as much.
It's a pretty good movie, though.
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot, I think more than most. And I know why I anticipated it, because part of that was sort of the train wreck sort of approach, right? I knew it would be weird or different or just old. Right. And so, yeah, I looked forward to it, even if it didn't completely live up to.
And I'll go ahead and mention this here, because I think it bears saying in regards to what you just said. When we talk about most anticipated, I have given a very clear idea of what this means to me and kind of what, you know, the process that we're doing here, which is somebody from the future has come back to today and has set two movies in front of you, and you can only watch one of them.
Yeah,
and right. Which one do you put in? And that is the process of elimination we're doing with most anticipated. The idea being you're anticipating most the thing you would most want to watch right now. And so that could be for a variety of reasons. It could be because you think it's going to be amazing. That's usually what it is. But it can also be, like John said, because you just are more curious about how is this going to work? What is this going to be? So anticipation doesn't necessarily mean we think these movies are going to be the best movies of next year. It just means that we are thinking that they're the movies we want to see the most. Edit for Phil. No, I'm recording on this end, but I can also record on StreamYard as a backup. But thank you, John, for getting my attention with that. All right. Leave a couple moments of silence so Phil will see it. So, yeah, so that goes in line with the Dial of Destiny pick. Your third pick, John, was Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was your...
And that worked out great. That was like probably one of the most... That lived up, I think, more than any other movie. That lived up to the hype.
Yeah, yeah. Andrew, your number one was Oppenheimer. How'd that go for you?
It was great.
Dead Reckoning was your number two, and then Spider-Verse was your number three most anticipated.
I think you picked pretty well, Andrew. I mean, in terms of movies that came out as well as I think we could have hoped. Those were, I haven't made my top 10 of the year yet, but I think all three of those would be in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dead Reckoning wouldn't for me. It was
That was good, but yeah, that might not be quite in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, just there, simply because Ghost Protocol was like one of the best movies ever, and that's every single Mission Impossible elevates itself somehow.
And this was the first in 10 years that did it.
Way too highest expectation. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure if I were to really think about it, this movie would still blow me away. But just I'm comparing apples to apples here, and I'm like, like the second one. Or I like Ghost second one, the seventh one more.
I think I liked Dead Reckoning more than both of you did. I think it's awesome and lived up to
it. No, it is. It absolutely is one of the best movies of the year, but it's not one of the best Mission Impossible movies, which is a weird sort of limbo between those two.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's easily in that conversation for among the great Mission Impossible movies. But that is not the conversation we're having today.
No.
My top three anticipated last year, two of which will not even be in my top 41 of the year.
Chihuahua, what happened there?
One, because it hasn't come out yet. Dune Part 2 is my number two. Mm-hmm. And then my number three was Quantumania, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania.
That was I think, for me, the biggest...
forward to that.
I think that was the biggest disappointment of the entire year for me. That was just... It had so much riding on its shoulders and just absolutely collapsed under just a big soup of mediocrity and... sludge. Well, we talked about it on the show. I think I was on for that episode.
Yeah, and that's why I was anticipating it so much, is because it was being built up as this linchpin to the next phase of what they were going to do with their movies. And
well, I'm sure they still planned on it, but unforeseen circumstances had changed.
But that movie wasn't going to be good anyway. And the reason it wasn't going to be good is
I see what you're saying.
Is because it became this linchpin instead of just being an Ant-Man movie. Like, it just lost so much of what makes the Ant-Man movies really, really fun, and just tried to be an Avengers movie-ish kind of thing. I don't mean Avengers as in a collective. I mean, like, an MCU, overarching plot driver kind of thing.
Yeah.
What about
they built it up to be Infinity War, and it was Ant-Man 3.
Yeah. My number one was Dead Reckoning. So John, both you and I had Mission Impossible at number one, and Andrew had it at number two, so that is why it was officially our number one of last year. We are going to go into 2024. Here's how this is going to work. We're going to do it the same way we've done it before. We're going to ask the question, which movie would you press play on right now of all the movies in this month? So we will go month by month, January through December, and we will each pick one movie from that month that is our most anticipated. We get three wild cards. There are three movies over the course of the year that we can just pick, even if we've already picked a movie from that month. Those wild cards could also come from movies that we are pretty sure are coming out in 2023 or 2024, but don't have a date yet. So those might be wild cards as well. Then when we get to the end, we will rank our top three and we will agree together on what the most anticipated movie of 2024 is. Are we ready to get into this, guys?
Yeah, we certainly are. And I do want to lay out real early here. We're using Wikipedia for the tentative release date. So any inaccuracies, blame the community
Correct.
Of Wikipedia.
Yes.
That's about as far as I think as our research went. And for the most part, I think, especially in the first half of the year, that'll be pretty accurate. But if you're listening to this 10 months from now for a laugh, there's going to be some, I think, big changes to some of these release dates.
What we know for sure is things will change.
Yes.
as mentioned many times, things will change. This is to our best information right now. We will start in January, and Andrew's going to kick us off as you survey next month, Andrew. What do you want to press play on the most?
Believe it or not, it's a musical.
Yeah.
What?
Mean Girls.
Mean nice. Girls the musical.
Which they're not nice. Branding or marketing as a musical, which is so bizarre to me to call it Mean Girls. And no, there's no hint of music. There's no hint of any of that. It just looks like a straight remake.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. That's a weird way to market a musical remake. But why are you looking forward to it?
They did the same thing with Color Purple. A lot of the marketing doesn't have the musical stuff in it. And then,
wait, Color Purple's a musical?
Yes,
the remake is. Yeah, which is so strange that they would remake it. And like the one sort of defining change, they're not even talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and like Mean Girls, it's the musical from Broadway. You know, like this has been a show, and so yeah. And then there was something else recently that didn't Wonka's advertising didn't have the musical stuff in it as well. So
Wonka didn't advertise, but since Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory was a musical, I kind of went into it expecting to be some songs.
Yeah,
but Color Purple, that that blows me away.
Just blew your mind.
Yeah.
Well, what are you looking forward to?
I still want to see it.
For the 20th anniversary remake of Mean Girls.
Well, I love Mean Girls. I think that the original Mean Girls is just a hoot and a holler. It came out at the perfect time. Like, I think I was in high school whenever it came out. And this just has a lot going for it. You know, Tina Fey is back doing the screenplay again. It has a great cast. I think it's Angouri Rice is her name. I've been following her career since she was in Nice Guys, and I think she's just a great young actress. So I can't wait to see what her, John Hamm, and Jenna Fisher get up to in this.
What about you, Jonathan?
This is going to be probably one of my biggest gambles or bets of the show here, but I'm going to pick F. Gary Gray's Lift, starring Kevin Hart. This is an airliner heist action movie. Or heist comedy action movie. It comes out on Netflix in just a couple weeks here on January 12th. And I love F. Gary Gray. He does a lot of excellent movies. And I love movies set on airliners. And I loved heist movies. So I think that's could be potentially a really fun cocktail of those three. But it's also a straight-to-streamer in January. So my hopes aren't too high. But yeah, the guy that did The Italian Job, Straight Outta Compton, and a couple of the Fast and Furious movies, doing a heist movie on an airplane, like that could be good. It could be really fun.
You got to mention Friday.
Yeah, Friday, which I haven't seen yet, but I have been making my way through the South Central Mount Rushmore of movies this past month. I went back and watched Boys in the Hood and South Central and Juice and all the rest. It's been pretty cool. So Friday's actually next on my list.
Well, this is a fun month. We all have something different in our most anticipated, which isn't a surprise early in the year, I guess. But you mentioned it, that Lyft has things you like. Mine also has things I like, things like Anna Kendrick, things like a movie from Neon, who always puts out good movies, and a directorial debut from someone I really like named Jake Johnson, who you may know from New Girl.
Yes, this was in my honorable mentions.
This movie is called Self-Reliance, and that seems like a recipe for something that could be really, really fun. I like it when interesting people do their first movie, because they've been stewing on it for a while, probably. It's something that's been living inside them. They, you know, there's something about those beautiful first films that people direct. Now, do I know if Jake Johnson's a good director or not? I have no idea. I just know I think he's a funny guy, and I've really enjoyed a lot of the work that he's done. So, you know, we'll see how Self-Reliance.
You don't have to wait long. That comes out on the 3rd. So
yeah, it's super early. So
a few days away.
I will be able to press play soon. The only other thing in January I would mention is The Beekeeper, a David Ayer film, and I have enjoyed some David Ayer movies in the past, and I think it's a Statham action.
Oh, Jason Statham.
Yeah, I think it's a Statham action movie. So that one could.
I saw somebody tweet recently that all Jason Statham movies should just be called Jason Statham 26. 27, just his title and then a number, because they're all basically interchangeable, from The Mechanic to Hobbs and Shaw. He's basically the exact same character, and that's fine with me. Like, honestly, the 28th Jason Statham movie sounds fine. Another one that I wanted to point out that I was Role Play, which was a Thomas Vincent movie with Kaley Cuoco and Daniel Oyelowo, which was an action comedy thriller, and that's usually kind of a fun combination when you get action.
That is a fun comedy.
I don't know if it'll be good, though, but some interesting people in it.
We will head on to February. Jonathan, kick us off. What is your most anticipated for the second month of the year?
This is where I am excited to see Argyle, which is Matt Vaughn's new picture.
Yeah.
Spy action too, comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got Henry Cavill, Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara. Like, that is a stacked cast. And from the guy who brought us The Kingsman, another movie in that like comedy spy genre, could be really good. I mean, obviously, it's a completely new IP, so hopefully people get behind it and it does well. But just based on the poster and some of the names attached, I'm excited. I have not seen any footage or trailers, but his name and those actors, I think, are enough to get me excited for it.
Yeah, I agree. It sounds really, really interesting. Andrew, this was your pick as well. What are some of your thoughts?
Yeah, it looks like Matthew Vaughn's take on a Guy Ritchie film, which
is
just a whole bunch of like tag words that just excite me. You know,
that's exactly the perfect way to put it. It looks like a mashup of Guy Ritchie and Matt Vaughn, like this cool little mix of like Cockney accents and heists and double crosses and twists and. Yeah, that should be fun.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. Great. Stacked cast. Like, absolutely stacked.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't even mention Sam Jackson or John Cena, but they're in there too.
Ba-ba-da-ba. You'll never see John Cena. yeah, Aaron, you won't know this because you don't watch trailers, but it really got me pumped just watching this. It sounds like the
trailer is... Has pumped it up a little for you guys, which I totally understand. But even just
I haven't seen it actually.
Oh, nice! Even just the Matthew Vaughn of it all, you know, sparks my curiosity. So, and Cranston always does great work. So I'm also anticipating this. However, there's one movie in February, a surprisingly dense month, more than usual, I think, for stuff that interests me. But I'm going with Orion in the Dark. This is a Charlie Kaufman written animated film. And I have never met a Charlie Kaufman movie that I didn't come out of thinking about and processing for a while. So I'm excited to see what this is. If you put all the movies in February in front of me, that's the one I'm going to press play on because I cannot wait to see new Charlie Kaufman. So that's my most anticipated for February.
He's the director that did Anomalisa a few years back. Was that a movie you really liked or did not?
Yeah, Anomalisa. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Have you seen it?
I have, and I didn't care for it, but it is definitely on a wavelength that I think you either vibe with it and love it,
right,
or it's right. Like, what is this? It's too weird for me, and I was in the latter, unfortunately. But I can totally understand why some people would have the exact opposite reaction. It was a very kind of polarizing experience. But
yeah.
That's great that he's coming back with some more stuff. I didn't know that.
Yep. And then, of course, in February, we also have the next edition of Morbius. Madame Web. Is it going to be the new memification of a movie? We shall see. And then Ethan Coen has a movie in February as well that I'm excited to check out called Driveaway Dolls.
Half of the Coen brothers is... That's 50% of the way there to an excellent movie already. So,
I think we're learning that Ethan was kind of the driving directing force of their stuff, that they work together because he's the one who's doing a lot of the movies now. But yeah, it's interesting. Driveaway Dolls is also in February. Anything else you guys wanted to mention before we move on to the spring?
Yeah, one thing that piqued my interest was Lisa Frankenstein, which is the directorial debut of Robin Williams' daughter, Zelda Williams. It's going to be a horror comedy with Catherine Newton, the girl from Quantumania, actually. And I think just based on the fact that this is, the protege and the offspring of Robin Williams doing a horror comedy about Frankenstein... is very interesting, and I'm really curious to see what that project will look like, if she'll be good as a director, if this is the career that she's going to take. And yeah, I think that's always a fun genre when you mix, like, it reminds me of Warm Bodies, where it's sort of like a really fun kind of tongue-in-cheek horror take on the classic Universal monsters. We'll see how it goes on. February 9th, that comes out.
All right, on to March then. We will head into March. I'll kick us off in this one. I'm going to say my official pick for March is going to be Mickey 17, Bong Joon-ho's new sci-fi movie. I'm clearly always excited when Bong Joon-ho has something coming out, and the fact that it's sci-fi is really, really interesting to me. So that's the one I would press play on officially for March. Andrew, what about you?
Mickey 17 is my dark horse. I'll say that.
No, one of your wild cards? One of your three wild cards?
One of my wild cards. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm using it right now. But Dune 2.
Yep. All right.
I'm actually surprised, Aaron, because that was one of your most anticipated last year. I thought that'd be almost an automatic carryover. We're finally getting the resolution to that incomplete film, as you called it. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to going back to whatever is the planet called Dune? I forget.
Arrakis.
That's it. I'm looking forward to going back to Arrakis. I think that first movie set up things so well, but it really did not have a conclusion of any kind. March 1st, we get to revisit that and hopefully get a satisfying conclusion.
I'm going to blow up whenever I watch the movie and it says, stay tuned for part 3.
Yeah. No, it'll just open with the title will be Dune Part 2 of 3. And that's all. The first time we'll know. And then that's how it'll go. I am super excited for it. It is an official wild card for me as well. So it is in my most anticipated of the year. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which actually was one of my most anticipated last year, one of the months I picked this movie. Just happens to be among stuff that I'm more excited for.
There's a lot of interesting movies in March. Arthur the King, with Mark Wahlberg, which is, seems like an interesting concept there. They're remaking Roadhouse on March 21st with mm-hmm. Jake Gyllenhaal. Also seems like a, okay, that seems like a pull. Love Lies Bleeding, which is A24's newest with Christian Stewart, looks really fascinating, kind of like a dark drama. And we're getting an interesting movie with Adam Sandler called Spaceman, where he kind of plays against type. Yeah, lots of interesting projects that I will probably watch all of which, but Dune is still my most anticipated for sure.
All right, let's move into April. Andrew, kick us off. What is your most anticipated for April?
Well, Alex Garland's back, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. He's making a movie called Civil War, and the trailer looks phenomenal.
Haven't seen the trailer, but it is also my most anticipated as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that is definitely a close runner-up for me. The one movie that got my attention, I think only because I saw a trailer for this and not the other one, is Challengers, which is a romantic sports drama with Zendaya. And I don't, there was something about it that looked really sexy and good and just intriguing. It looked like a good pulpy, sexy thriller. And we don't get a lot of those anymore. But also, I have not seen the trailer for Civil War, and perhaps that would have convinced me. That was my runner-up for this month. What about it are you looking forward to? Sell me on it for someone who hasn't seen a trailer.
Jesse Plemons.
I'm in.
That's it.
I'm in. I'm already in. I love
it. You also have
Alex Garland is the I'm in for me. I mean,
no, yeah, that is my
dude is
I'm
a
in.
Genius. It really is. Like the stuff he is thinking about and putting into visual media is so deep and intricate and interesting and. Yeah, I'm.
If I
I'm
see a
super
skull bear screaming like a woman, I swear I'm out.
You mean in? You mean in?
That's the most terrifying thing in the history of cinema.
Yeah, yeah. Alex Garland knows how to tell story, like really interesting, metaphorical, deep stories. Like it's.
I never did see his last feature, Men, from last year, but Annihilation and Ex Machina were two really good, thinky, sci-fi. Experiences for sure, and I'm curious if Civil War will kind of tap into that more cerebral kind of element. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Absolutely.
Andrew and I have differing opinions on Men. I believe you didn't like it as much as I did. Did you?
I hated that ending.
Yeah,
so
you
much
hated the ending
the
so
movie.
Much. Yeah, yeah. The ending goes places that you won't want it to go. But it definitely does so purposefully. Like, you know, there's a point trying to be made. And that is probably my biggest like that I can see the complaints with is the movie tends to be a bit on the nose with its metaphor, but I like it. I just like it. It's creepy and interesting and that echo.
Garland always has something to say.
He always has something to say. And I'm always thinking about it. And there's a scene with an echo in that movie that has stuck with me ever since. It's
highlight of the film.
It's so good.
Andrew,
I
what
had
do you,
a wild card in this month as well.
Yeah, I was actually about to ask if you had any because there's one here that I think you might talk about.
Yep, Godzilla Kong,
there
the
we
New
go.
Empire.
Yeah, I have. I still have a couple of those to catch up on, but it looks like that could be a big one for sure. They might.
Have
they
you
might
seen
win the
Godzilla
month,
minus one?
No, not yet. But I keep
John,
hearing everyone
Godzilla minus one
rave about
yet.
It. Yeah, everyone's been raving about it. I can't wait to see it myself.
It made my top 10 of the year.
Yeah, that's
blew
awesome.
Blew me away. But this is in the Legendary universe, and I enjoy the Legendary movies. I think that they don't get enough credit for being as beautiful as they are. Like if you look at the last Godzilla Kong, it was a gorgeous film. Some of those shots were spectacular.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also that's a franchise that doesn't get credit for being perhaps the only successful cinematic universe that's growing right now. I mean, Marvel is certainly on a downtrend. The DCEU just collapsed. But the Legendary Monsterverse is like alive and well. And they have a couple different TV shows. This is, I think, the sixth or seventh feature. They're quietly building out their own little franchise here without, I think, making any big mistakes yet, which is great to see.
Is it?
Yeah, I can't think of a single one that kind of let me down.
I thought the last one was pretty terrible, but it's still fun.
You loved it, according to the reviews.
It's still fun to look at, though.
Well, ignoring that.
Is it Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla Times Kong or what is the how
pretty are we... sure it's Godzilla Times Kong.
Okay.
And you multiply those together and they equal a new empire.
Okay. But don't forget to minus the one. I just don't know when we turn.
You gotta
Godzilla into algebra.
If you don't carry the one.
It's math homework. No one told me there'd be math. Is anyone looking forward to Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 2? I haven't seen the first, but I heard it's bad.
I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I'm not looking forward to it.
It is one of the most beautiful, terrible movies I've ever seen.
There you go.
It is spectacular to watch.
Wait, you mean there was a reason Disney passed on this script for Star Wars?
I think so.
I think the concept's cool. You know, the birth of a rebellion on a small moon, the little guy taking on the big guy. I mean, there's stuff there. It's just not done well.
Leads to wars.
He knows
how
to make a pretty movie.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of part twos next year. This is not the last time we'll mention that phrase.
And part ones. I'm so tired of this trend. Just stop it. It's really quite.
It's frustrating. All right, let's move to April or May.
May. Let's move into May, which kind of kicks off the blockbuster season. So we'll start to see a lot of stuff we're probably interested in. May, for me, may be the most packed month of stuff that I'm just super excited to see. Jonathan, you go first in May. What did you pick?
Yeah, there's a lot of really great stuff that I'm looking forward to. I don't want to pick a sequel every single month. So for May, I'm going to go with one of my only non-sequels, which is Fall Guy, which is this action comedy with Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. I've seen the trailer a couple times. It's very funny. They have great chemistry, and I love the concept of a stuntman turned private investigator caught up in a shot of a murder mystery. And Gosling in comedy, I honestly think he needs to be doing more of it. He is so very good at playing that type of role, and he doesn't do it often enough. But if this is anything like The Nice Guys, I think we're going to have a great time with Fall Guy. And that comes out on May 3rd. But there's so many other big projects this month. What are you guys excited for?
My official pick is If, the John Krasinski movie.
This looks adorable.
I think this sounds amazing. I actually thought this was animated because all I saw was a poster. And it looked animated to me.
It's the combination, you know, like Sonic is and
right. Well, I mean, I didn't know that, but then I assumed it must be because I saw a picture with Ryan Reynolds, you know, in it or whatever. And as much as I love Ryan Reynolds, as much as I love what Krasinski's done, I think this is super interesting, and I am excited to see it. So that's my official pick.
And it's an acronym, Aaron's favorite.
I do love acronyms. So, yes. I also have a wild card this month, but we'll hold on that. Andrew, what is your official pick?
Oh, I didn't know we were holding wild cards.
No,
until the end. Gotcha. Well, it's probably this one, Furiosa, the Mad Max Saga.
I would have been shocked if not one of us picked that as our official most anticipated. So way to come through for us.
That's why I'm here, coming in clutch with the basic picks.
But George Miller's back to direct this, so
I know
the spry age of 78
in the city director.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
And Happy Feet.
Mm-hmm.
What an eccentric man, you know.
he does what he wants to do, and I respect that. This is a prequel, though, right? So Charlize Theron is not back as Furiosa,
yes,
which is an interesting choice. But if it's anything like Fury Road, I think it's people are going to turn out, and George has certainly proven that he can direct the hell out of an action movie. So looking forward to that.
Chris Hemsworth looks unrecognizable.
That's
He's
fine.
Got a whole lot of prosthetics. They tried to make him not ridiculously handsome.
Good luck.
Well, yeah, good luck. Yeah. The other movie that I'm really excited for is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I've adored this new reboot
trilogy.
That was
amazing as well, wasn't it?
That comes out May 24th, the same day as Furiosa. So that's going to be, I think, a pretty competitive weekend. And also the Garfield movie comes out then. Are all three going to hold that date? That's Memorial Day weekend, so it's always going to be competitive. But those are three big movies that don't completely counter-program
I'm looking forward to a Garfuriosa weekend as the new Barbenheimer.
Yeah, why not?
I was thinking, I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, how can I make Furiosa and Planet of the Apes Furiosape? Furiosape? Is that going to be the new thing?
It'll be something stupid, I'm sure. That someone comes up with, ironically, and then TikTok runs with it, and then Sony Pictures attempts to cash in and fails miserably. That's just the cycle we're stuck in now. Yeah, Kingdom of the Apes. I mean, I love the last three movies. I love a lot of the original ones with Charlton Heston. And the fact that they're finally like closing the loop and going back to that 68 original where it's really just apes only and then maybe a couple humans, I think that's a really fascinating approach to the story. And I do hope they make another couple sequels that ends with Charlton Heston like landing on their planet and then we just go back to the beginning. Just a big closed 12-movie loop. That'd be awesome.
It is my official wild card for the month. So there you go.
Mine as well.
All right. So we both had that as a wild
card.
May
is stacked.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be a fun month. All right, on to June. I believe it is my turn to go first. I think everybody would be shocked if I didn't have Inside Out 2 as my most anticipated for June.
Yeah.
Well, prepare to not be shocked because I have Inside Out 2 as my most anticipated of June. I love the original so much. I said when the original came out that it was ripe for sequels, that I think there are so many interesting things you could do with the universe. In fact, I think one of the questions we were asked by somebody is what, you know, franchise do you most think, could benefit from sequels? And I think Inside Out is that franchise, and I'm excited to see what they do.
I hope I can come back on for that episode because that was actually, I think, the first time I was on Sif Pop. We were talking about Inside Out all those 10 whatever years. It wasn't 10 years ago, but it felt like it. When was that? 2015? Mm-hmm. Okay. Almost, I guess, right? I'm so excited for this. That landscape and that world is so much you can build on with Riley going through puberty and falling in love and things like all of a sudden the new emotions are just ripe for, you know, comedic mining. And perhaps more importantly, Pixar, more than anybody, is great at grabbing like the pathos out of those individual elements and moments and making, you know, a really deep and moving story. And if it's anything like the original, bring your tissues. Can't wait for that one.
Yep.
My pick as well for June.
Andrew, what is your pick for June?
Not Inside Out 2. It's Ballerina.
Ooh, Ballerina. Tell us why you're looking forward to that one so much.
I just love the John Wick universe. It's just so much fun. Lance Reddick is in this one, according to IMDb. So this may be his final performance. I'm not sure. Apparently Keanu Reeves and Ian McShane are going to be in it. I think it might be a prequel to the John Wick films.
And if it's not, I'm guessing not we'll get some type of flash forward or flashback that kind of sets up the connective tissue. But yeah, Ana de Armas in a John Wick spinoff, like that's, I'm in. That's an easy sell.
Yeah.
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 And it's directed by Len Wiseman, who directed the greatest canceled show of all time, Swamp Thing.
A classic moment in Sif Pop history where somehow Aaron revealed to Andrew that Swamp Thing had been canceled in live.
It broke my heart.
You can see his heart break in the live broadcast.
I'll have to go back and watch that.
Oh, it was brutal. It was on John. It was honestly pretty brutal.
It was one of those things where, was it your buried treasure?
It was my buried treasure.
It was his buried treasure, and he's talking about how much he loves this show, and he's excited to see where it goes, and it's just that whole...
yeah, it's canceled.
You know it's canceled, right?
Oh. Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That hurts. Yeah. That hurts.
We're also getting also a fourth... No, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to go on to some other stuff in June, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say we're also getting a fourth Bad Boys film. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith are both coming back. I liked the one that was released just before COVID, Bad Boys Forever or whatever it was called. I thought it was great. I'm excited to see more of those guys, but I do feel like that's going to just get overshadowed by a lot of other projects. The next week on June 28th, we're getting A Quiet Place Day One. They just keep building out this world in new directions. And we got a little bit of the prequel and the sequel. Now we're going to get an entire prequel. Because I think Krasinski just wants to stay involved, even if you know, his character is not in the movies anymore. I don't know if he's even in this sequel, but great franchise. I'm excited to see more of it.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more Quiet Place. I'm excited to see Ballerina. I think we also need to keep an eye on Horizon, American Saga.
I was
Saga.
About to say another one of those chapter ones.
Yeah, yeah. The nice thing about this chapter one is chapter two comes 2 months later. That's like, that's if you're going to do part one, part two, I can respect that, where it's like, you know, an extended intermission, if you will.
As, for sure.
You know, we come see the next one in a couple months.
Now, do you think the original...
The only reason...
Do you think Horizon 1 will still be in theaters?
The only reason why I didn't have, whatchamacallit, Horizon on my list, is or Horizon 2 on my list, is if I don't have Horizon 1 on my list for the month, it would feel really awkward to have Horizon 2.
I think that totally makes sense.
He's been working on this for 30 years.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner.
He's been playing this for a while.
My question was, do you think Horizon 2, which comes out in August, will play alongside Horizon 1, which came out in June? Will they stay in theaters that long to do a proper double feature?
Yeah. I think so.
I think a bunch of theaters probably will. If it loses theaters in 8 weeks in between, they'll probably bring it back for like special double feature screenings. And knowing what Costner did to get this to the screen, and given his track record, as sporadic as his directorial efforts have been over the last three decades, I mean, the guy that gave us Dances with Wolves, for me, gets a full pass anytime he says, I want to make an epic 6-hour Western. It's like, yes, please, I'm there. Can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And then the other one I would mention from June is The Watchers. This is a Shana Knight Shyamalan's first film. This is M. Night's daughter.
I love that we're getting like a lot of offspring.
Yes, and legacy directors.
Yeah, right? That's great.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what Ishana brings us. It's Dakota Fanning starring, I believe. That's pretty much all I know, but it's called The Watchers. So interesting to see how far the Shyamalan fell from the tree on that one.
Have you been sitting on that one?
What? Well, that's not even a pun. On that line? There's nothing there. I just, you know.
It has a ring to it. I like it.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's move on to July. What is your most anticipated for July, Andrew?
This is an easy one.
For July, believe it or not, guys, it's Deadpool 3.
Come on.
Might as well.
Yeah, that's an I think it might be the easiest pick of the entire calendar. I think Letterboxd has this right now as the fourth most popular movie of the unreleased calendar year. And given some of the leaks and the pictures and what we know about Hugh Jackman coming back, I think this is going to be – this is probably the only movie I know is going to win the weekend it comes out. It's going to be a huge hit right off the bat. It might save the MCU from total, you know, disarray.
It's the only MCU movie of the year.
Right.
The only MCU movie coming out next year,
which is
Deadpool
crazy.
3.
crazy to think
and
about.
It's not a character that's been in the MCU before. Like, it's wild. You know, you think, like, you know, two of us had two different MCU movies in our most anticipated last year. To think of how much the MCU has crumbled, that there's only one movie coming out in the entirety of 2024.
So it has a lot riding on its success. And I think, hopefully and thankfully for the success of the future of the MCU, it probably will do very, very well. And hopefully it's good. If it just does well and it's bad, then we're in trouble. And Kevin Feige is going to have to do a lot more scrambling than he has already. But I think a reset year is good. Like, let's just slow down, do one or two movies like they used to, focus on good stories first, and worry about the interconnectivity mid-credit scenes later. But knowing Ryan Reynolds, kind of, you know, behind the screenplay, and knowing how much IP he can now integrate and work with, this is going to be a lot of fun, because there's just going to be a bunch of self-referential Disney, you know, pulls and characters and. Yeah, this could be great.
Yeah. Andrew, what are some of your thoughts on Deadpool 3? What are you looking forward to?
Just looking at the cast list here, and I just noticed Jennifer Garner is coming back as Elektra from the original Ben Affleck Daredevil movie.
Why not? That sounds great.
Yeah. I think that would be the tagline for this movie, John, is why not? You know?
That's exactly right.
Why not? You know? You want to have Hugh Jackman come back? Why not? You want to?
This is the kind of movie where they can just throw everything, including the kitchen sink, and just go with it. And the tone and the style.
I hope they have a good story, though, guys. I hope there's a foundation in this movie. Like, I don't want it just to be, you know, the ice capades
idea. I'm not as worried about that, because I think that's why the first Deadpool worked so well, is it actually did have a really good grounded character work and story at its core that made the rest of it actually function. Like, it had one of the best character introductions and love stories of any of the Marvel properties, when it really didn't need to. But it did the work and made a good, compelling character you want to root for. And then all the other stuff was just, you know, icing and frosting on the cake there.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of other projects.
I really hope they...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really hope that they commit to the whole Deadpool kills the Fox universe.
That'll be a fun angle if they go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's probably the most famous Deadpool comic series is Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe. And to have it, you know, to where he's killing Fox and everything that they did. Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Twisters, a Twister sequel coming out in July. Excited for that.
I am legitimately stoked for this. The original Twisters is one of my favorites from the 90s. Right. And even if there's even if nobody comes back from the original, I think just the concept is so, you know, rife with possibilities. I'm surprised that we haven't had a really good storm chasing movie since then, except for maybe what was it, Geostorm, like 6 or 7 years ago, and that was kind of trash. So if this is halfway good, I'll go see it.
Yeah, for sure. And then Project Artemis, got ScarJo and Channing Tatum and Ray Romano, and it's a rom-com set during the space race. Oh, that sounds really interesting to me.
I think everything you just said is like, ooh, that sounds very enjoyable. I might wait to catch that on video, but that comes out on July 12th. And it doesn't look like – right now, July looks kind of thin on this Wikipedia page. But, those are all movies that are on my radar. Actually, Twisters is my third official wildcard pick.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because not only will Deadpool – are people afraid of the Deadpool effect? Like, are they – if it has July all to itself, it's just going to clean up. Like,
It looks like it'll probably have that weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's move on to August. John, what do you got – what's your most anticipated for August?
This is a bit of a cheat because I didn't want to place it in June, but I have Horizon Chapter 2, an American saga, as my pick for August, because I couldn't pick it in June because I'm more excited for Inside Out then. But by the time August comes around, I am really excited to go and do what I was suggesting, go to the theater and see both of them back to back in a single day. I think that would be an awesome way to spend an afternoon, especially if it's too hot outside in the middle of August on August 16th. And everything I mentioned before. This cast, by the way, we didn't mention that. Sienna Miller, Sam Worthington, Luke Wilson, Danny Houston, Michael Rooker, Jeff Fahey, Will Patton, Ella Hunt, Jenna Maloney, Abby Lee. Like, this huge, huge cast of people, recognizable faces. And it's Kevin Costner spending every dime he's ever made getting this passion project off the ground. So I hope it's good.
I hope it's good too. I'm clearly, if it is good, the idea is that it will compete for awards during award season, those kind of things. What are the,
which one competes?
Yeah. What are the, can he submit it as a full film, or
I don't think
basically,
so.
I think
if they screen it as
can,
one,
that's what I'm saying. Right. I think right. what they can do is come, you know, award season, come December.
Yeah, re-release it, know, as combined,
submit it to a few theaters as a full thing, and then submit that full movie for awards. I actually really like that idea. I can get behind that kind of stuff because it is a movie. It is, right, like this is a movie experience, and that's, you know, that's the thing I have such a problem with these part ones, is just they're not a full movie experience. So yeah, it'll be
thank goodness it comes out like a month or two afterwards.
Right.
I actually can't remember a time a franchise has ever done a sequel that close to the original.
Matrix. I don't, right?
Matrix.
That was 6 months. Yeah. This is 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought you meant like within a year of each other.
We've definitely got a bunch of same year releases. Actually, the original King Kong greenlit, produced, filmed, and released its sequel within 9 months of the first one. And that wasn't like already pre-planned. Like, they came up with that after. And they got that, you know, soup to nuts done within a year. But yeah, the Back to the Future, the Matrix sequels, Lord of the Rings all came out a year apart. But this is coming out weeks apart from each other. June 28th mm-hmm. and then August 16th. So that's not even – that's like 6 weeks, which is awesome. Which you don't have to wait long at all. I mean, that's the length of a couple limited series on Apple Plus. Like, that's – like, I can wait 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my most anticipated for August. What do you guys have?
I'll go next. M. Night is always going to be, I need to see that movie. I need to press play on that movie. And lately I've been enjoying them, if not loving them as much as his, you know, first few movies.
They're always worth checking out, even if they're not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Trap is the name of the M. Night movie out. That'll be my pick for August. What about you?
Do you know anything about Trap?
M. Night directed it. Wrote it.
That's it. Because it doesn't actually have a Wikipedia page yet. It's a red link. I don't actually know anything other than he's directing and Josh Hartnett is starring. That's it. That's all we got.
That's more than I need to know. Didn't even need to know the Josh Hartnett piece.
Oh, sorry. Sorry if I already gave something away.
Night, press play.
Right on.
No, I'm not upset that I know the Josh Hartnett piece.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't need it for the anticipation.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Andrew, what about you?
I am going to go with a movie from Eli Roth. I never thought in a million years I would ever say that. Borderlands, one of my favorite game series, is coming to the big screen, and the cast is stacked. Listen to this. You have Jack Black, Kate Blanchett, Jamie Lee Curtis, Edgar Ramirez, Haley Bennett, Kevin Hart, Bobby Lee. This cast is just
Gina Gershon. Wow.
And yeah.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about the game, but I know the game is very popular and everyone really likes it. And we've been on an upswing with good video game adaptations, so I'm optimistic that this will be
finally.
Yeah, right. It only took 3 decades to get like a couple good ones in a row. Anything else in that month that strikes your fancy? I know Kraven the Hunter is slated for August 30th. And Andrew, that I think might have been your most anticipated last year, or one of your wild cards before it got pushed out of its original date of this past August, I think. Gosh, I forget when that was supposed to come out.
I think you might be thinking of the Venom sequel.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. But I have Kraven the Hunter down. I have the Alien movie, Alien Romulus.
Yep. Kraven was originally scheduled October of 2023. It was supposed to come out a couple months ago. Yeah, and I got pushed back 10 months.
I'm excited for Alien Romulus. I think it takes place between the first two Alien movies, which I think is always interesting to, you know, kind of throw that needle.
Ooh, they're doing a Rogue One sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the idea. So
the only issue I have with movies like that is it's really difficult to build stakes if you're dealing with franchised characters, you know, like, in between these two movies, we know that. Yeah, I don't think Sigourney Weaver is going to be coming back for this, obviously, but.
And then the reverse is, if you don't include the franchise characters, we know that these characters don't really have an ending, or they don't have a continuation.
Yeah.
They're just going to either conclude in this installment or just, like in Rogue One, they'll all die. So it's sort of kind of stuck.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying, like Rogue One.
Yeah, you kind of get stuck between those two. Now, as we move to September, this is where the calendar kind of thins out, and we know a lot less about potentially going to – there's just only a few movies per month. I think we're going to have a lot more agreement in these next couple of picks.
You know, I will say as we move kind of towards later in the years, the last few months, that when kind of re-listening to last year's anticipated, we did a pretty good job at talking about some things that ended up happening later in the year. We talked about Killers of the Flower Moon. We talked about Maestro. Like we had.
Did? Wow, that's great. I don't remember that at all. I know we mentioned Napoleon, which at the time had no date, and that did come
correct.
Out whenever
yes.
it was
Yes, you specifically mentioned Napoleon, being excited about Napoleon. So you kind of know a little bit, but you know it's much more likely that these change.
Yeah, we'll know about the tent poles and the big sequels, but invariably I always get excited as we get into the holiday season of like the smaller indie movies and the awards contenders that are going to make the biggest waves come next Christmas, which we have no idea even exist yet. And
right, like we didn't talk about Poor Things or The Holdovers like those kind of things.
So The Holdovers is probably going to make my top 10 of the year, and that's a movie I didn't know about a week before I saw it, let alone a year before I saw it. So
right.
with that big caveat out of the way, what are you looking forward to in September?
Well, it's your turn to go first.
Oh, okay.
What do you got?
Reluctantly, I'm going to pick Beetlejuice 2, even though I am not the biggest fan of the original and I'm not sure it needs a sequel. Michael Keaton and Tim Burton is always a great combo. So cautiously optimistic, this could be fun.
Very nice.
I am reluctantly with you. That is my pick as well.
Yeah, it's like I wish this didn't exist. I don't want a sequel. I don't think we need a sequel. But Michael Keaton's been doing great work lately. He's had a bit of a resurgence or a renaissance, if you will, since Spotlight 10 years ago. And after taking off, I think, most of the 2000s. How do you say the first decade? The aughts? He took off like an entire decade of any big movies. And he's come back with a vengeance now, minus his mid-credit scene in Morbius, which was just, oh my God. What was he in that?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Except for that, he hasn't really missed
money.
Yet. Yeah, money, that's why.
He wanted some money.
His kids need to go to college.
I'm certainly interested in Beetlejuice 2, but if you put Wolfs in front of me, I'm pressing play first. Wolfs is directed by the guy that's done the most recent Spider-Man movies, Far From Home.
John Watts.
You know, those movies. Was it John Watts? Anyways, John Watts. I think that's right. But it's a Brad Pitt, George Clooney thriller.
Oh, well, that's my pick.
Like, I'm in. You know what I mean? Like, this just sounds like something that is going to be amazing.
That's my pick.
That's what I would press play on.
Changing your picks.
Yeah, you got the Ocean's 11 dynamic duo in there. Yeah, I'm sold. And John Watts.
So, the only other thing in September I would mention is Transformers 1. Which is directed by Josh Cooley, who directed Toy Story 4. So there's a little bit of pedigree there. And right. I like
that
Transformers.
Seems like a pivot, but all right.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's an animated film.
I think so.
Oh, that's very interesting. All right. I'm totally thrown by that. Are they aiming for a younger
back,
audience?
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, not back. We're just confused. Wow. Okay. Sure. And we're also getting the 11th
entry.
I'm pretty
sure Peter Cullen's coming back.
How? Isn't he been dead for a while? How is Peter? Is Peter Cullen
sure
still alive? I don't believe
that. He just did narration in something I just watched recently.
I thought he was dead. Maybe I'm thinking of Orson Welles. Orson Welles is definitely dead. Orson Welles.
Stay tuned to Sip Pop for the conversation. Who is or isn't dead?
Nope, he's still alive.
Yeah, I thought Peter Cullen was still around.
All right. I'm thinking of Orson Welles, who did Optimus Prime's voice in the original 1984.
Transformers 1 is an upcoming animated film that will explore the origin story of Cybertron and the relationship between Prime and Megatron.
Incredible.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, gosh. It's going to be a heartbreaker, like they were friends, and then they got RRR'd. And
they're going to be holding hands in a trash compactor. It's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
The 11th three, entry in the Saw four. Franchise comes out at the end of September. Is anyone excited for that?
Pass.
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't seen the 10th edition.
I've only seen one, actually, and I didn't like it to watch the other nine, so.
Yeah. Spiral was 9. 10 came out this year. Saw X was 10.
Wait, there was another one that came out?
Yeah. Yep.
Goodness.
Yep. One of two X movies that came out this year. Fast X and Saw X.
That's a big trend lately too, which needs to go away.
And next year it's Godzilla X.
Yeah, movies with X in the title. The Godzilla X Kong. Like, it's just silly. It's a very silly trend. We don't need X's in your title.
Just, no X's just, whatsoever.
Just
I'm sorry.
You don't need to make
you
10
thought you were
going to
name your movie.
Movie
Ex Machina? No, it's E Machina. We don't do X's anymore.
I just mean on their own as an individual character without any other vowels. It's weird. Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's Roman numerals, I don't know that they're cool. I don't know that it's worked. They went out of style.
John Pollitt today. Roman numerals, not cool.
They went out of style. They went out of style, you know, with the Super Bowl, and they went out of style. Besides the Super Bowl,
you know what's cool? Exponentials. Exponents are cool, kids. Roman numerals, not so much. All right, let's move into October. It's my time to kick us off. I have to go with Wolfman here. Lee Whannell did such a great job with everything.
Wolfman, okay.
And it's new Universal Horror. I don't think we've really gotten a great Wolfman movie. And I just think we're going to deal with Invisible Man Part 2 here, where could it be Universal is maybe figuring out their Universal Monsters universe by making good movies about characters? Possibly. So I'm excited for Wolfman. That is my most anticipated for October. Andrew, I have a feeling I know what you're going to pick here.
No, you don't.
I don't.
unless it's Joker.
It is Joker.
Yeah. I'm not unique. I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're unique.
Joker, fully adieu.
You just
left
Joker.
But if you put it down in front of me, I loved Joker. I thought it was a masterclass in performance art. I think that, I'm not going to stir up old arguments. So I'm just going to say I'm very excited about Joker 2.
I'm excited to see this movie. I am so excited to see this turn into a musical. And
I was going to say, I was kind of indifferent that this was getting a sequel. But as soon as I heard Lady Gaga was attached and they turned it into a musical, it's like, whoa, okay, that's a very different swing. You have my attention now.
Yes.
And yeah, Joaquin was obviously phenomenal in the original, even though I had some issues with the messaging and sort of the way it galvanized a certain group of people in a bad direction. But the original is a fun, good movie. Fun's probably not the right word, but it's a very good movie. And I think the potential...
It's a hoot and holler.
Yeah, really uplifting experience. Yes, this is my pick for October as well. I think this has potential to be very interesting. And certainly probably going to do great at the box office.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, November. Let's head into November. Andrew, what is your pick for November? A few choices here.
Yeah, a movie that I don't know how excited I am as opposed to, like, how would I say this?
Curious?
Curious, hesitant, nervous, Gladiator 2.
Yeah, that's my pick as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the story of Commodus, but Lucius, the young boy from the original Gladiator film, all grown up, looking for truth about his father now. Yeah, there's just a lot going on with this. It's tied to one of my favorite films of all time. It's a sequel that takes place decades after the other one came out. There's
Ridley Scott
going against it, and there's a lot going for it.
I think Ridley Scott has had, more than any other director, such an up and down career, right? He's given us brilliant, brilliant films like Black Hawk Down and Gladiator and The Martian. And then he's also done stuff like House of Gucci. And it's like, okay, G.I. Jane. Like, all right, some of these aren't quite on the level of these other classics. But I think at the very least, it's worth my time to check it out and give it, you know, a fair shake. And exactly what Andrew said, like the fact that it's connected to Gladiator, one of the best picture winners of this century. I'm excited to revisit that world and those characters. And when was the last time we got like a good Swords and Shields epic? I guess Ridley Scott's The Last Duel was probably it. Yeah, that was, yeah, I think was Ridley Scott. Say, yeah. That one, that was itself, that was already 2-3 years ago.
Which was so good.
And that was really good. When Ridley gets it, he delivers really, really good cinema. But yeah, he does miss.
John, what did you think of Napoleon?
I haven't seen it yet, actually. It was on my most anticipated list of the year, but it has been a very busy holiday season, so I'm going to see it probably when it gets to home video.
Also coming out in November, Venom sequel, an unnamed Venom sequel. Looks like it's going to be hitting in November.
I'm okay with not watching that one.
I thought the last Venom was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I liked Venom.
Just a big, unenthusiastic shrug from me. I'll watch it eventually.
90 minutes
but like
of
not,
fun. It's just 90 minutes of fun, you know?
Sometimes my wife is a big fan of Tom Hardy, so I think for that reason alone, we'll see it eventually.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, for that reason alone, I'm not a fan.
No. I like him too. I just not gonna see
for
it
that,
on day
for
one.
For that reason alone, I cannot condone.
I will not tolerate this.
The first part of the Wicked movie comes out in November as well. Speaking of part one,
that's right. So I've never seen the Broadway show.
Yeah,
so I don't even know what it's about.
And then a movie called Alto Nights. This is Barry Levinson, which is always pay attention, and he's directing De Niro as two different gangsters in the same era. So De Niro will be playing a dual role and will be both of these gangsters that are competing against each other for territory.
And they're not like brothers? They're not twins? They're just different people completely?
I told you everything I know for sure. That,
I know. I'm reading the article in real time right now, and I'm just like, huh? Okay. All right.
So that is definitely a can I please press play kind of movie. Like I want to see this. This sounds very, very interesting. I imagine it will be going for awards. I imagine that it's an awards bait kind of movie with Levinson and De Niro. And it sounds interesting. So Alto Nights is also one to pay attention to in November.
There's also a Christmas action movie coming out with Chris Evans and Dwayne the Rock Johnson, which is it'll be fine. I'll watch it. We need more good Christmas action movies, and Chris Evans is always pretty dependably fun.
I'm always game to hang out with Chris Evans. I have soured a little bit on hanging out with Dwayne the Rock Johnson. I'm starting to get a little tired of his shtick, but he's still fun.
This feels exactly like Ghosted or Heart of Stone, right, or Red Notice, one of those like straight to streamers, partially written by robots and AI. It'll probably just be an amalgamation of every little trope we've already seen, but it'll probably be fun.
Yeah.
Even if you forget immediately.
Headed into December, what do you got, Jonathan?
For December, this is where I have Robert Eggers' Nosferatu remake.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a obviously a very invocative, compelling, horrifying story that has survived over 130 years since Bram Stoker first wrote it, over 100 years since it was first filmed. We've had countless imitators and remakes, and Eggers has proven that he can get like this weird kind of psychological black and white, really moody horror vibe really well. The Witch, The Lighthouse, The Northman, all of those have been like, you got to kind of lean forward and pay attention, and this is going to be a little different. And his take on something like Count Orlok and Nosferatu is, for me, sounds really, really exciting. And it's actually Letterboxd's number 2 most popular of the entire year, actually, is Nosferatu, right behind Dune, for whatever that's worth.
Mm.
Yeah, so the public agrees.
And
this
Andrew
is what
agrees.
We're all looking forward to. Yeah, right.
Apparently. I'm going with Mufasa the Lion King.
I hate that this exists, but why do you want it?
I'm excited that this movie something exists. New. Because it's something new. The only thing I didn't like about the original the remake of The Lion King is that it literally had nothing new to add. And I know a lot of people say that about all the Disney updates, live action updates. I don't agree with that. I think a lot of those Disney live action updates have something new to add. The Lion King did not.
I agree with that completely.
By numbers. Rinse, repeat kind of stuff. And so to have that talent, I thought the talent in that movie was great. And I thought the art style was incredible. Some of the live action animals in that movie were just photorealistic. Like, I was blown away by some of that. To have that in what I hope is a great story, but is certainly a new story, to me, it eliminates a lot of what I didn't like about the Lion King live action remake. So I'm really excited to see what they do with this.
Now what's his name still doing the voice of Mufasa? James Earl Jones? Because he's
they
like
have
95.
A James. I know they have used technology for James Earl Jones to keep doing Vader in the TV shows. So I'm not
sure. According to Wikipedia, has Aaron Pierre as Mufasa. So it doesn't look like James Earl Jones is reprising his role again.
Is it possibly a prequel? See, I don't know a lot about this movie.
Yes, but, a prequel about
it does
the rise.
Take place. It's a prequel.
Okay, yes. Then that makes sense. Then that makes sense that there'd be a different voice cast for it. So yeah, I'm excited for it. That's why I picked it. There's a Karate Kid sequel that I'm also kind of excited for because it's kind of combining the worlds of the Jackie Chan and the Daniel
LaRusso. Yeah, Ralph Macchio is coming back with Jackie Chan.
With Jackie Chan, yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. I've never seen the TV show, but I know it's great. And I will probably try to catch up before this movie
comes out. It's fun, but it wouldn't be a great... Like, it's definitely a TV show. Like, it's like the tone of it is very, like... almost sitcom television in some ways.
Yeah,
I guess
so. It'll be a movie would be weird.
Yeah, it'd be weird to take that tone to the movie. I think the movie will feel a little more serious. I would imagine, but we'll see.
We're also getting an animated Lord of the Rings movie on December 13th. The War of the Rohirrim.
Yeah,
Rohirrim. Yeah, you guys read the books. I haven't. And Sonic the Hedgehog 3 comes out right before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's been a pretty dependable couple of movies so far. I'm excited to see.
I think that's the perfect word to describe the Sonic movies. They're dependable.
Yeah, I actually had
for a good time.
I actually had a ton of fun with the sequel. That was surprisingly great. It didn't need to be. It really could have been whatever.
Jim Carrey being Jim Carrey, sign me up. Like,
100%.
I think he's incredible when he goes manic, and I think he's incredible when he goes dramatic. But in this case, it's been fun seeing kind of that the face pulling, scenery chewing Jim Carrey back in movies. So I'm excited for that one too. You may have noticed that Andrew and I both only have two wild cards so far. So we both have a wild card to go, and that is because our other wild cards do not have a release date scheduled yet. Andrew, why don't you start? What's the one you wanted to mention that you're really interested in?
I'm going to go with Beyond the Spider-Verse.
See, that's pretty for sure not 2024.
Try again.
You sure?
No. Yeah, go ahead and say it. I think it's 2025. They have been pretty clear that they're nowhere close to having this movie done. That's why I joked about it in the intro, because it's like, will we ever get this movie? But
then I will concede to having the Wolfman as my other buried treasure.
Nice. Nice. As your other wild card.
I'm with you. Yeah, because I'm excited about the Dark Universe coming a thing.
Yeah. I would love to be wrong. I hope we see Beyond or the end of the new Spider-Verse movie soon. But it doesn't seem
it
like
seems very unlikely. They said they were like a year out and that they're not going to get it.
And if it does come out this year, Andrew, you can come on this episode next year and just, like, you know, we'll give you 5 minutes to yell at us for you know, dissuading you.
Not my
you.
Style.
No, no. You'll just, you know, sneak in the middle of the night and do away with us.
Ha!
Yeah. My final wild card doesn't have a date yet, and it is Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
They have promised
that for 2024 on Netflix. Boy, to see Eddie Murphy back in that character. You know, you talk about Jim Carrey kind of going back to some of his manic roots or whatever. I'm really itching to see what Eddie Murphy does as that character in this new Beverly Hills Cop movie. See what that
I'm surprised
looks like,
they don't have a date released yet, considering there's trailers and stuff for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Netflix kind of plays fast, and
I didn't know.
There is a trailer, and it looked decent. It looked kind of good. I'm cautiously optimistic about this, but yeah, Netflix plays fast and loose. They'll just release it when they want to, and probably don't give a lot of forenotice for that. Do you have any reservations, Aaron? That this far removed from even the third one now is 30 years away. Let alone the first one, which was 40 years ago. Do you have any reservations that Eddie can still get it? No,
I have no reservations. It's got to be there somewhere. It's just, you know, does he want to access it?
I think it's when he cares about a project. Dolomite is My Name is a fantastic film that he did just a couple years ago. But then he also did something like You People, which I think we talked about on the show. That was just like, he's clearly like, when his heart's in it, it can absolutely land and deliver. And when he's just doing it to pick up a paycheck, it's obvious. Like he has a couple different speeds, and I'm hoping, you know, we get that that theme song and those locations and co-stars and Judge Reinhold in there. He can kind of tap back into whatever magic he left behind 30 years ago.
Yeah. There is one other undated movie that I did want to mention, I thought was worth mentioning, and you may think I'm kidding, but I am not. I am excited for this movie. Jerry Seinfeld is doing a Pop-Tart story movie that sounds really, really intriguing. Yes. Yes. Look it up. The Jerry Seinfeld Pop-Tart movie is supposed to come out this year.
You sound like a slot roulette, you know, like you pull it down and just three Mad random Libs, words movie pop Mad together. Libs. Yeah, you Mad Libbed it.
What are you finding, Jonathan? Am I lying? Is it a real thing?
It's called Unfrosted. The Pop-Tart Story is an upcoming American comedy film co-written, directed, and co-produced, and starring Jerry Seinfeld about Kellogg's and post-consumer brands compete to see if they can produce a breakfast pastry before the other in 1963 Michigan. It's another one of those product biopics we got so many of in 2023.
The founder.
Right, yeah, the founder in BlackBerry and the Flaming Hot Cheetos and Tetris. And the other movie, Air, right, about the shoes.
Beanie Babies. And
it's become a little cottage industry of biopics. Like, if we ran out of people, let's just talk about products and cereal we like. And here's another one.
But
Jim Gaffigan,
different.
Melissa McCarthy, Amy Schumer,
yes.
Hugh Grant, James Marsden,
yes.
Jack McBrayer,
yes.
Tom Lennon, Bobby Moynihan.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a straight-up comedy.
This is a murderer's row of comedians here. This is great.
What makes this different to me is Jerry Seinfeld is writing and directing it, like, and starring in it. Like, this is clearly a passion project from him. And like I said earlier, when people have passion projects, they tend to put a lot of effort and swings into them. So, this definitely... Definitely has my interest peaked.
Has Jerry ever directed a feature movie
before? Is it his debut? I'm not sure. I didn't look up if I didn't think he had, but I didn't look it up.
I think it might be his directorial debut because he didn't direct B Movie. That was like he co-wrote it and he produced it and he starred in it, obviously. But he didn't direct B Movie. And besides that, he hasn't really done a lot of feature movies. He's surprisingly little.
He has not done a movie.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this is Jerry Seinfeld's directorial debut at the ripe age of 69 years old. So,
yeah.
Okay, better late than ever. I'm excited. You got me on board for this. And
there we go. Let's go.
And honestly,
the official CIFPOP most anticipated movie of 2024 is Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart Story. Woo. All right, it's been a great episode, guys. Congratulations to all.
All right.
I am excited for that movie.
Well, thank you for putting it on my radar.
I'm glad
no
that
idea.
You let me know.
Yeah.
No idea about that one.
All right, let's go ahead and give our top threes. We will do it this way. We will one at a time. Just go number three to number one. I will kick us off and go with Deadpool 3 at number three. Super pumped to that. Want to press play on that. Civil War is my number two most anticipated movie of 2024. So excited to see what Alex Garland has in this area. And then my number one is Dune 2. That's right. Pulled a flip-flop on you. It wasn't my official pick for that month, but it is my official pick for the year.
How does that work? You didn't even have it as... Did you have it as your one of your wild cards?
It was one of my wild cards that month. So, yeah.
Okay, well, you're... That's how that did works. For April, you picked If, not Civil War. Did you? I thought you said you wanted to watch If.
I was expecting... If was May. If's May. Civil War is April.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I'm like, wait a minute. All right, great. All right, those picks, I'll allow them. That's
if
good.
We're done interrogating my picks now.
I was confused, all right? There's a lot of months.
No. I purposely threw a curveball at everybody with the Dune pick. Right. I wanted to throw that curveball, which you rightfully called out when it happened. So Mickey 17 was my official March pick, and then I made Dune a wild card, even though it's more anticipated than Mickey 17.
All right, you're just being a little crafty there. I see.
Nobody said that your official pick had to be your most anticipated.
All right. That's fine. Fine.
I won't do it again. Okay. But yes, Dune 2 is what I am most looking forward to pressing play on next year. What are your three?
Was Inside Out not one of the three?
Nope. Was not.
Okay. Interesting. I thought for sure.
If you put Dune 2, Civil War, or Deadpool 3 in front of me and Inside Out 2, I'm pressing play on those other three first. It's probably number four, but I can wait a little bit longer for Inside Out 2 if I get to see what Deadpool 3 is or what Civil War is or what Dune 2 is.
Yeah.
Andrew, what do you got?
Tell me if these sound familiar to you. Number three... I have Dune 2.
Okay.
Number two, I have Deadpool 3.
Uh-huh.
And at number one, I have Civil War.
Hey!
Civil War at number one
for you. The exact
same
list that Aaron has, just in a different order.
Yeah, a completely different order for your list.
You guys are slowly motivating me to check out this trailer for Civil War. Because it was not one of my main picks. Dude. It was not one of my wild cards. Clearly I'm missing something about the hype for this.
I think that's the Alex Garland of it all for me.
I guess that's the component I missed. He's not like a name brand to me yet. I've only seen a couple of his movies. And I liked them both, granted, but, my top three, this might change in time, but for right now, if you had to press me, I'm going to put, Horizon, the American Saga, as my number, let's put both movies in there as my number three pick.
We are totally for that here at SIFPOP. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you put them all in front of me, I'd be more really excited to watch a good 5-hour Western. I think we need more of those big epics. At number two, Deadpool 3. I think that obvious reasons, it a lot is riding on it. I think there's a lot of potential for it. And then most anticipated, because I've been waiting a year and a half for its conclusion, would be Dune.
All right. So Dune 2 has two number ones and a number three. Deadpool 3 has two number twos and a number three. I think by numbers wise, that makes Dune 2 the pick. You okay with that, Andrew?
Yeah.
All right. The official SIFPOP most anticipated movie of 2024 is Dune Part 2. Or as we like to say here, finally ending the Dune movie is what we are looking forward to.
It is also
somebody paused the movie halfway through and they're officially finally letting us press play again.
So, which would be, I think, somewhat more, I don't know, tolerable if the first movie wasn't so very good. And I think that's the big thing, is the first Dune is so good that we just want more of it straight away and we're impatient. Letterboxd as well, that is the number one most popular movie of the entire year of 2024 right now. We're not alone. Everyone is looking forward to this.
I have to say, John, it's not just that it was so good, so we want more, so we don't want to wait. it genuinely is that it's so good at setting stuff up that it never gets to pay off. And like, yes. if you look at it as its own thing, it's not a good movie. That is not Correct. A good single movie.
I it would agree.
It is an incredibly well-produced movie. It is technically astounding. But on its own, because it doesn't finish any of its themes, it sets up things that have zero resolution in it. It sets up characters that we don't even really know yet. Like, it just does all these things that the first half of a movie does, not that a complete movie does. And that's what makes it so frustrating. And very, very glad that we will finally get to view it as a complete experience.
Yeah, I think when its release date finally nears in the beginning of March, I am looking forward to rewatching the first one and then going out and watching the second one like the very next day. And I think that's probably going to be what a lot of people do because it is such a two halves of the same coin. It's not a separate experience. It really is the conclusion of an existing one. But yeah. I don't know. The first movie got a lot of stuff right. So,
yeah.
Excited to see
we had a lot off. Of it again this year, you know, Spider-Verse and you know, Fast X and, you know, just these setups that leave movies incomplete. We have Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which apparently they're not calling the next Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, which I wish they had just left the Part 1 out of the title, because I actually think the Mission Impossible movie is a good complete movie. It does finish a lot of the themes it sets up. It does have resolutions for the characters.
Yeah, that's what's so ironic about it, right? It didn't put that on its sleeve, and it actually did a better job of concluding a story.
It didn't need while the Part 1 in its title.
Right. And it really left a couple breadcrumbs for Part 8.
Yeah, but that's normal. Like, there's always going to be something you want to know more about that world, but that movie is a complete movie, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's the Part 1 thing is really weird to me.
We're also getting – we didn't talk about it because I don't think anyone cares, but the psychological horror franchise The Strangers is getting 3 installments next year, and they're doing the same thing with Part 1 comes out in May, and then a Part 2 and a Chapter 3. Those come out later on. And it's like, when did this trend start and who decided it was a good idea to
just keep splitting up? It's just officially television now. It's just officially a TV show now. Yeah.
I think Harry Potter 7 and 8 were some of the big movies to do it first. And they did so well.
Twilight. You know,
Twilight did that. And then we had with Divergent.
Movies.
And the Hunger Games. And now everyone's like, oh, let's just split them up. Let's do – every movie can be 2 parts. Like, what? No. Stop this. Finish the movie.
Yes, have a complete thought. If you're going to make me wait a couple years for the next thing, at least just do us the favor of having a complete thought in the thing that you're giving us. There you go. No anticipated movie episode would be complete without a rant at the end from the old men yelling at the clouds. So we're glad to give it to you. Before
Stop raining.
Before we do complete this... let's do some buried treasure. What is that one thing in any area of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about? Jonathan, you're our guest, so you'll go last. Andrew, what's your buried treasure this week?
I finally ticked something off of my list of shame.
Mm.
Everybody knows how big of a fan I am of Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
That I think is one of the greatest movies ever made. It might surprise you that until recently, I had never seen Band of Brothers.
I haven't either,
and I finally ticked it off my list of shame. And boy, oh boy, do I get it now. Like, I knew before even going in that it was going to be an epic on the level of, you know, Saving Private Ryan. And it is. It truly is. You fall in love with these guys. You are scared when they're scared. You cry when they cry. It's just a beautiful way to tell these people's story. And the fact that this is based on, you know, true squad of paratroopers. It's wild what these men did to think, you know, they're cut from a different cloth, really. When you think about it, all the people that survived World War II, like, I could never do it. I would not have made it. And I am just so thankful that we had men and women on the front lines doing what they did. When they did.
It appears that Band of Brothers is streaming everywhere. Pretty much you can just see it at all the places.
Love that.
At least Netflix, Max, Hulu, I think I saw.
Yeah, I watched it on Max.
So if you want to check that out, Otherwise, they'll probably just release it as, you know, a 10-part movie in 2029. Band of Brothers is a good pick, good pick. My Buried Treasure, I've been watching a lot of stuff. I'm going to go a little bit... I'm going to try to stick with the theme of buried treasure, even though this was one of the most popular movies of the year. For some, they may just think, I don't really need to watch this. And I'm telling you, I loved this so much. So, I had such a good time with this movie. I am talking about Taylor Swift's The Eras Tour. I loved this. And I'm not a Swiftie by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. I know,
but Travis Kelce.
Don't care. but I have recognized her talent through the years for songwriting, for melody writing, and some of her songs have stuck in my head just through general, you know, pop culture consciousness, those kind of things. The idea of this tour and going through her albums and doing, you know, snippets or fuller songs as, you know, she visits these eras of her career is brilliant. It's genius. And then you add to that the production level of this show. And I thought it was really well done. It reminded me of Hamilton a lot in that all you're getting really is a video of this concert. And I don't know if it was just one night at SoFi in LA or if there were a few nights at SoFi.
Six, that, you know, have been, I think.
So it's probably been stitched together from several nights at SoFi. And there's a few elements added for the movie, kind of like Hamilton. Like they shot a few things that obviously clearly weren't, you couldn't shoot if you were just, you know, watching the show. But mostly it's just like going to the concert and it's pretty astonishing. And so, yeah, I really, really enjoyed the Eras Tour movie. And I also wanted to say, I know it's been around for a while, but whoever invented the everyone gets a light up bracelet when they come in and then it syncs to the light show, it deserves to be retired on an island somewhere for that genius idea. It's so cool. I love it so much. I think the first time I maybe saw something like that was at a Super Bowl halftime show. I'm not sure. That could be wrong. But
yeah, I have.
But
one.
Watching it, how it's used in this show is so brilliant, and the way the lights in SoFi are used in this show is so brilliant. I was really impressed with everything about this concert. So yeah, Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour.
I am very pleased to hear you say such glowing things. Didn't expect that from you, but I went to the show at Gillette Stadium back in May. Took my wife, took my sister, huge Swifties, both of them. My daughters are big into her music now, and I've been a fan since 1989 came out, whenever that was, 7 or 8 years ago, since I became like a big fan. I haven't actually seen the movie yet, but I saw the concert, and I imagine they're pretty analogous experiences. And yeah, it was phenomenal. One of the best produced, best sort of production level of any event I've ever seen. And I've been to Super Bowls and I've been to big concerts, and this was, you know, far and away the most extravagant and incredible live entertainment experience I think I've ever had. It was just like second to none, really incredible stuff. My buried treasure, though, I want to say The Lazarus Project, which is a time travel show from Britain, but I think I mentioned it on the show a couple weeks back. I think I did. Anyway, check out The Lazarus Project. It's great. So instead, since I think I did mention that, I want to instead talk about a film I watched just yesterday. It's getting a little bit of buzz this year, but I think it flew under everybody's radar, and that is How to Blow Up a Pipeline. This is a great little lower-budget movie with a bunch of no-name actors, and as the very provocative title would suggest, it is a movie, a fictional movie, thankfully, about a group of 20-somethings disillusioned with corporate greed and the establishment, who decide to commit an act of domestic terrorism, effectively, and disrupt an oil pipeline because one person has cancer because they live next to a refinery. One person lost their house because of eminent domain and the oil company came through and used their land. Another person went to college and kind of became propagandized by all this like really far left-leaning material where they think the only way to fight the system is to literally destroy the system. And it's a really good character study into what makes those people become radicalized to the point of actual property destruction. And it also is a strangely captivating movie where you're rooting for people to commit this act of crime. And the movie effect kind of lives up to the premise. If you want to know how to blow up a pipeline, this movie kind of tells you who you need to do it, how you're going to go about getting the bombs, and where you need to go in the desert to find these places. And it's really captivating. It's really interesting. And it paints a sympathetic portrait of people who commit these kind of acts of vandalism. And at the end of the movie, you're kind of like, yeah, I think I agree with them, actually. Which, for better or worse, is, I think, an interesting piece of art that gets you to think about stuff like that.
I think as you finish, I love this movie.
It's really good.
It will be on my year-end list. It's one of those movies. First of all, it's kind of like a heist movie, really.
I forgot to mention that, but that's what I think what I loved about it most is you're seeing all these disparate players and characters work together to pull off what effectively is like a reverse heist. They're not stealing anything. Yeah, they're planting something. The cinematography, the music, all of that was really gripping and tense. Great film.
Yeah, it's really well done. And I think there is a – I think there's a line to walk. There's a needle to thread with what it's trying to do here. And I think you say it really, really well. By the end of the movie, I think you find yourself in complete – empathy with their situations and why they would make these choices.
Yeah, right.
And I don't think the movie expects you to condone their actions. I think it expects you to understand their actions and why they would choose eco-terrorism
and admittedly the movie does go out of its way to paint a pretty soft target. Like, we're not going to hurt anyone. No one's getting killed or murdered. We're just blowing up infrastructure of a corporate greedy oil company. And it's like, okay, I can pretty much get behind that. There's not a lot of things wrong there ethically or morally. It's all right. I get your position. I mean, obviously legally you can't commit millions of dollars in property destruction with a homemade bomb and get away with it. But morally, it's easy to sympathize.
And the road to accidental murder is paved by good intentions, too. Like, there's, mm-hmm. there is more to it than just the intentions. And the movie is aware of these things, I think, too. So, like, I think it beautifully walks that line in a way that lets you ponder these things and perceive these things as you're watching the movie. So, yeah, that's a great recommend. I believe it's streaming on Hulu. Blow up a pipeline. So you can check it out there. Or maybe even Disney Plus, because you know what? There's a Hulu button on my Disney Plus now. And I don't know if everybody has that, but it's just one of those things that just popped up. No fanfare, just like, hey, look, there's a Hulu button on Disney
Plus. Everything's the same. Warner Brothers is merging with Paramount. Paramount's merging with Showtime. Showtime's merging with HBO. Like, everything's everything. Cats everything and dogs living together. Mass hysteria.
Everything everywhere all at once. All right. There you go. That is the podcast. Congratulations, guys. We did it. We managed to anticipate things. Hard work we have here of looking forward to stuff. Thanks so much for joining us today for Sith Pop. It is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network at studiodna.media or by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
And thank you to Jonathan Paula for coming and hanging out, anticipating movies with us. Where can we anticipate finding you on the internets?
As always, I'll direct listeners to check out my Letterboxd profile, John Paula, JonPaula. I'm on there every day rating and reviewing the movies I watch. I'm almost at 500 watches for the year. I think I'm going to come up just a few shy, which is really frustrating, but I'm always rating and commenting and interacting over there. And of all my social media platforms, it's the only one that's not toxic. So hope to see you there.
There you go. Check out John's stuff on Letterboxd. And as always, it's great to have you here. Also great to have our amazing supporters supporting us on Patreon. Thank you for doing that. That is at patreon.com/siftpop. Support starts at $3 a month. There's different perks, including access to a pre-show that we often do here on the show. So you have your own little podcast feed where extra bonus stuff just pops up for you. So thank you for doing that. Lots of ways to connect with us. Feel free to leave a comment, a rating, or a review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can email us if you like at feedback@sifpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too. So make sure you let them know about it, and that listening is much easier than making me quit talk. Making me quit talk. Much easier than me talking.
It worked.
We'll be back next week.
Just leave all that in.
It was all intentional. How was my acting? My acting was incredible. We'll be back next week with probably Poor Things in American Fiction. Lots of stuff coming out, and I think that's probably what we'll talk about next week. And we'll see you then. Bye.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.